Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm joined again by John Rosier, the esteemed private investor. How are you doing, John?
Good to chat again. Very well, thanks.
Yep. Still humble, I see there. good to have you back. So we kicked off last month looking at really your sort of style and introducing the way you went about managing your two portfolios, the main John's Investment Chronicle portfolio and your funds portfolio. Let's get into the nitty gritty today. Companies, what's been going on in April?
I had a pretty flat month. I had as many of my sort of 20 odd stocks in the portfolio, half were up and half were down. So if the idea is to have more winners and losers, the relatively short period of 1 month, that didn't really work. The things that hurt me during the month, IG Design, which I bought back in January, February, that was down, that was down about 10% or so. And that was mainly after its results, which actually I thought were pretty good in terms of, it's all about margin improvement. New team there seems to be doing a good job on that. Cash flow was better than expected, so debt was lower than expected. But they did warn that there would be a write-down on the UK to some of the businesses they bought, a few years back. But that's a non-cash item. So again, that doesn't particularly concern me at all.
Yeah, and I think we discussed them last month. New management team, yeah. It's sort of that process of restructuring that business.
Yeah, yeah. And actually this morning they announced they've appointed a CFO who has come from Devereux, who obviously were taken over recently. So he joined in July, I think. But that looks like a really good appointment.
Because, yeah, great.
Devereux's done a lot of overseas business and things. So, I think that was a good appointment.
Yeah, it sounds it. You mentioned the downs, but let's talk about the ups. Polar Capital was a good performer this month. Fund management group.
Yeah, well, they put out, they're a junior end. So they put out their Q1, assets under management at the 31st of March. So that's their Q3. Mm. And that showed, increase in assets under management over the quarter. And there were net outflow, but again, that was slowing. So, when I bought this last year, it was all about whether they were going to pay their dividend. In the past, when there's been downturns, they've maintained it. And sort of reading, their statements and things, unless things got really bad, I was pretty confident they would maintain it. After those numbers, and I think they will. I mean, they maintained the interim dividend, and with the final, they're pretty much on a 10% yield, about 9% dividend yield. So I'm happy to do that, collect that dividend while we wait for sort of better times in the market. because I think they've got some good funds there. I mean, obviously, the technology area has done really well in the past, but the healthcare fund, global healthcare, is doing well. So, you know, if one bit's not doing so well, another bit should be doing better.
Yeah, I really like those specialist asset managers. Polar Capital, yeah. You've got Impacts as well.
Yes.
Runs a couple of funds. And Lion Trust was the other specialist that I was saying, look, they were having a terrible time. It actually, you know, even though a lot of their funds were doing quite well. And, you know, the valuations of teams have contracted ludicrous levels.
Yeah, so I think, you know, they're basically discounting a lot of bad news. Mm. I mean, look, if we're sitting here in a year's time and the markets are down 20 or 30% from here, then that won't look like, I don't, you know, they'll go down further. But I mean, if we're bubbling along the bottom and things get better, as they did in you know, Q1 calendar this year, then, you know, I think certainly with Polar, with the dividend yield, you've got something to hang on to.
Yeah. I mean, it has been a bit of a funny month. We've had a bit of a recovery in the market since October, but April felt like it wasn't sure where it wanted to go, the market. It's you're half up, half down, but that seemed to be the sort of general vibe of April.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, there's a lot for people to worry about. You know, the US sort of regional banking scene is obviously a cause for concern. You know, people are worried about, will this lead to a credit crunch? If you look at monetary growth in the US, you know, that's negative. And so, yeah, there are things to worry about. But, you know, on the positive side, maybe in the US, the interest rate rise we had earlier this week, maybe that was the last. Maybe there'll be one more. But I mean, you've actually got real positive interest rates in the US. I mean, that's the first time for some time.
Yeah, we'll stick your money in the bank and hope that it doesn't go bust.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are sticking their money in money funds, aren't they? They're taking it out of the bank where they're getting virtually nothing. And that is sort of the problem. It's so easy to do now.
Yeah.
Click a button and you've moved it.
Yeah, very, very tricky indeed. Not such a problem over here, but we're still lumbered with very sticky inflation, which is causing all sorts of troubles. We might not have seen the end of interest rate rises here.
No. I think certainly also we've got the sticky inflation. I mean, the April figures, he says, will definitely go down. But they will, just because of the base effect from last year.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess what they'll really be looking at is core inflation, which is sticky, and wage rises, etc. So yeah, there will be more rate rises here. I mean, definitely another quarter, I would have thought, next week. And I doubt that will be the last of it either.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny one. The UK economy is sort of, I can't work out whether we are collapsing or holding up. The figures seem to be all over the place. You know, we had some figures from Zoopla this week. We sort of suggested the housing market was seeing a bit of a recovery. You know, we have
new mortgage rates, you know, the fastest since last October and picking up quite quickly.
It is
slightly, I mean, people seem to be spending money, or those with money are spending it.
I think that might be the difference. I think you know, we're seeing this sort of polarization of the haves and the have-nots.
Do you hear the lightning?
It hasn't come here yet. We better get this done quickly.
Also, stop talking about the economy.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Yes. Indeed. A pathetic fallacy, maybe. So the UK economy is actually quite interesting in the context of one of your new purchases this month, which is Howden Joinery. So I've bought from them before. I think it's an absolutely fantastic company, has really, you know, done a great job of growing that business and really being the sort of go-to, you know, kitchen company in the UK and increasingly beyond. But I've always had this lingering worry about you know, how it will survive tougher economic times. But you bought it.
I have. And the main reason was valuation. I mean, I've looked at this in the past, and I've always loved it, but just the rating has been too high for me. Whereas, you know, it's now down at, well, it came up on one of my screens, In terms of sort of cash flow and net cash on the balance sheet, etc. And you know the growth in cash flow over the last sort of 10 years. And then I looked at future growth, and they're still pretty optimistic about the number of new depots they can open in the UK. I think
Yes.
they've got around that 800, and they reckon they can get to 1,000.
Yeah, they talked about another
So,
30 this year, 10 in France, 5 in Ireland. So yeah, still expanding.
So plenty of growth ahead. And then in France, you see there's huge capacity for growth. But I guess, you know, at the end of the day, it's a high quality stock. Falls into that sort of those stocks with very high return on capital, return on equity, which means that they generate a lot of cash. That cash, they can then use some of that for growing the business, new depots, etc., on which they're getting a return on capital. So, you know, it's sort of a nice virtuous circle. You're then left with quite a lot of free cash flow, which they're using to buy back shares, pay a decent dividend. So this just seemed like a good opportunity to get in, where, you know, the valuation is very attractive.
I mean, I'm just looking at the share price. So, you know, it was really hit by what's been going on over the past year. You know, I guess it's one of those, as you say, quality stocks, but highly rated, that just couldn't outrun the maths of higher interest rates.
Whereas now you look at the rating, and I just think you know the risk is to the upside. I mean, it is a bit of a sort of second half, fourth quarter sort of weighted business. So you know, although it's had a good start to the year, it's not the most the busiest part for them. So we'll have to see what happens later in the year. But you know, there's been a bit of director buying as well. So I think at this sort of valuation, it looks good. And it came up on quite a few screens I looked at, and the guru screens and things. You know.
I was going to ask you about those because the piece that you write on your website, which you publish monthly. You talk about the screens and the process that has sort of alerted you to this as a you know a good opportunity, even though you've had your eye on it already. So you talk through some of those because there are a lot of screens that this one's passed.
Well, those are the guru screens on you know, on Stockopedia. And I mean they had it past the Richard Bedard's Nifty 50 thrift, which is for value investing. Then T. Rowe Price as a growth investing, large cap dividend screens for income investing, it's got a very attractive dividend yield. Screen of screens quality, and then the Benjamin Graham deep value screen. So, you know, I sort of looked at it. So, what you've got here, then, according to all those screens, is a quality growth stock, which paying a decent dividend, and at deep value. What could go wrong?
Got everything. It's got everything and pretty good kitchens as well. Really good kitchens. Always helps having a good product. You know what? That experience of having used them, you know, I think it's actually something I think all investors should consider doing when they are buying a share, is actually experiencing, if possible, the service that you get from that company as a customer. I think it can tell you a
Well,
great deal.
I mean the you know their customers who are you know the RMI the builders etc. seem to love it. I think the service is excellent, and also the choice is very good. I mean, you know, in the past, this thing's been valued at 20 times odd earnings. It's currently on 13.9 times 23 earnings, and you know, with a decent dividend yield as well.
I'm looking at the SharePad summary chart, and you know all of the charts are going in the right direction generally. Turnover. Yeah, well, actually, and P is going down, which is the right direction as well for a would-be investor. Let's talk about your second purchase of the month. It's been a busy month, which was Brooks Macdonald.
Brooks Macdonald. I mean, the same thing again. It came up on one of my screens, so I thought I'd have another look at it. And
What does it do, first of all? Because I guess this is sort of so it's in financial services, but
it is.
it is
And
a
so basically, IFAs, The main business will be with IFAs putting their clients' money with Brooks Macdonald. So to do that, you know, it's quite a competitive industry. But to do that, you've got to provide good service, well, good product at the right price, and then a good service. And this company grew very rapidly over sort of 10 years ago and had a really good sort of growth in terms of new business. And then I think it lost its way slightly. It was trying to put in new systems, a new digital sort of system, et cetera, to improve the service. And I think they had a few sort of problems with that. But that now seems to be working. I mean, the latest figures from them showed, in terms of new business, showed that reasonable growth, few percent, but also they were basically doing better than their peers. So that's what sort of encouraged me that they've turned the corner. But again, you know, this is another one that I would call a quality company. And quality, again, in terms of return on capital, return on equity, margins. And again, this passed six of those guru screens. But the same sort of things, you know, quality, income, growth, free cash flow. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, and again, this looked very, very cheap to me.
Down to forecast P less than 14.
Yeah. And really again, cheap. In the past, it commanded much higher ratings.
Yeah, it's almost identical, the two selections of charts for Howdens and Brooks, as it happens.
Exactly. Came up on the same sort of screen. So what I think is that often what happens in a bear market, and yeah, certainly in mid-250 and small cap, you know, we have been in a bear market. Maybe we're out of it. But what tends to happen is when people are taking their money out of the market, you're a big fund manager. You're managing a big fund, and you have outflows from it. So you've got to sell, and often you sell what you can sell. So the larger stocks with a bigger, better liquidity, etc. So what tends to happen is that you have a compression in valuations. Mm. So the very highly valued stocks get sold down. So the difference between the most highly rated and the lowest rated sort of, let's say, quartiles of the market get closer together. So it does mean that you then have an opportunity to buy stocks that in the past, you know, you may have considered too highly rated, to buy them at pretty much market ratings.
Yeah.
And to get into quality. So if you've got lots of cash, that's great because you can buy them. If not, then you can rejig your portfolio and improve the quality of the overall portfolio.
Yeah, I think as you put it in your outlook, I continue to be fully invested with an emphasis on values. I think what you said before, but now you're fully invested with an emphasis on valuation, which is
exactly.
So given that you're fully invested, what have you rejigged to make way for Howdens and Brooks Macdonald?
excuse me. I reduced my Sylvania Platinum, so I took a profit on that, but it's still 5% Sylvania, so there was just a little bit of reducing there. Gulf Keystone Petroleum, which hasn't been one of my best investments, again I reduced that down to 2.5%, so that raised a little bit of cash for me. Those were the main things.
Gulf Keystone is an interesting one. This seems to be a company-specific issue rather than a market issue here.
The problem Gulf has is, obviously it's in operates in Iraqi Kurdistan, Kurdistan Autonomous Region, and back at the end of March, basically the export pipeline through Turkey was shut down. So I think it's about 450,000 barrels of oil a day from Kurdistan through that pipeline. Hasn't been running since then. Mm. Now, So basically all of the operators, so Janelle and Gulf Keystone and some other operators, have had to close down production. So they're not getting any cash at the moment. Now, a few weeks ago, it was said that, you know, I think the Kurdistan regional government and the Iraqi government have come to an agreement that the pipeline will open, but it's now just a matter of timing. So I'm constantly going on Reuters and things, and saw something yesterday that suggested it would happen in the next week or so. So that's important, because if it doesn't start in the next few months, then, you know, Gulf Keystone will be in full cash. I mean, they've got a decent balance sheet with cash on it, but they'll be wanting to conserve that. So that would then put July's dividend in doubt. So I've got a small holding there now. It's 2.3%. But a lot of that, I've got it as high risk, high reward. I should have had it as high risk, high reward all the time. I had it as medium risk. So I possibly, you know, that's something I got wrong.
Now, geopolitics, what can you do? That's where the top-down approach we spoke about last week sometimes perhaps comes in useful. Yep. Comes in useful. So what are we? What are you looking at the moment? What's popping up on the screens that's piqued your interest?
Well, I'm sort of keep looking at my screens, looking at the value stocks, and there's loads of, you know, companies that appear on it. I mean, Card Factory this week.
Good numbers.
They had good numbers, earnings upgrades. You know, it appears on my screen here with 8.4 times free cash flow growth over, and you know, annualized over the last 5 years, enterprise value to free cash flow of only 6.3 times. So I mean, that's one that does look interesting. I think it'll go up. What puts me off buying it compared to others is the debt, although that will come down as things improve. So I think that'll probably do well, but whether it will find the way into my portfolio, I'm not sure. I just think there's probably some better quality ideas to be found.
Yeah.
You know, Marks and Spencer's appears on there, and there's only about 15 stocks appearing on the screen, but M&S is there as well. You know, clearly there are upgrades for all these stocks. Clarkson. And then a stock I bought the other day, but we'll talk about that next month.
Talk about that another time. One of the things, one of the features of the market at the moment and its cheapness is that, you know, you and I and investors in the UK are not the only people recognising this. You mentioned in your piece that private equity managers, trade buyers are seeing this cheapness and going for it, and that it's reducing our potential pool of possible investments as we move forward. Is that a trend that you're just concerned about, or is one that you're actively trying to play? Are you looking for the type of companies that trade buyers, private equity buyers might actually want to take out?
It'd be nice to have a big takeover. Yeah, one of my larger positions. But I'm slightly concerned about it in a way, because if all of our sort of best companies or highest quality companies get taken out, it sort of denudes the UK stock market of those companies, leaves us with the dross or whatever. And that, those are the sort of companies that are going. Yeah, private equity buyer, you know, likes a company that's generating good cash and has got growth prospects, etc. So, and you know, in a good market position. So I think that is slightly concerning, but you would also think it would be self-righting, in that it's sort of making me feel a lot more bullish about the UK, because if these sort of acquisitions keep happening, the fund manager who's got a big holding suddenly has some cash, so he can then reinvest, or she can reinvest that in other stocks in their portfolio and things. So you would hope that this sort of big discount, which what people have put at sort of 20% to overseas markets, will close over the next 6 months or 9 months or so.
Let's hope so. It certainly can't last forever, because nothing in financial markets ever does.
No. So, I mean, private equity and bidders are taking advantage. You can't blame them.
No, absolutely not. And in some sense, it's a positive for the UK market, and a nice positive to end our monthly chat on. If you want to keep up with John's updates in real time, you can always head over to jicuk.com.
That's right. That's correct.
Excellent. Excellent.
Absolutely. And you can get a 2-week free trial.
Excellent. Well, I would highly recommend it. It's a great read and a really great way to keep up with what is an exciting portfolio. Wonderful to speak again, John.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. See ya.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.